Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Ephesians. If you'd like to follow along, it's page 181 in the hymn Bibles, or the Bibles in front of you. From chapter 3, "This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ, for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that is. The Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the wisdom of God and its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our second scripture this morning comes from the book of Matthew. The visit of the Magi. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For so it was written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that they may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we give thanks and praise for this and every opportunity to share in your fellowship and to grow in our knowledge of you. Amen. I was going to start off my sermon today with an ice fishing story, but I don't know if that would be appropriate or not. We're already cold enough. Today, if you're not aware, is what the church calls Epiphany Sunday. An epiphany, meaning not what we think epiphany is as being something that comes to mind, but epiphany as in the appearance or the manifestation of God on earth in the form of Jesus Christ. The mystery of our faith that Jesus, born to a human, was brought to this earth and is God manifest on this earth. For God so loved us that he actually came down to our level to teach us how to be and how to live. Epiphany Sunday is also celebrated in many of the Eastern Orthodox churches as this is the day they give presents in remembrance of the Magi bringing presents to Christ. It also leads all the way up to the miracles in Cana and the baptism of Jesus Christ. But today I want to focus on the visit of the Magi and the shepherds, and the fact that God came down to this earth, became man, in an effort to reach out to us and tell us, come to me. Through Jesus Christ, we later hear the words, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. What an amazing thing that God would actually reach out to us and call to us and say, come to me. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he's telling the Gentiles that through faith in Jesus Christ, we now have access to God. We can reach Him anytime, anywhere, and that is the miracle of Christ. Sometimes I think we take it for granted that God is with us all the time and is accessible to us at any time. God is here now with us, and as you leave and you get in your cars, God is there in your car and is accessible to you there. When you get home, Jesus even says you can go into the farthest corner of your house, to the darkest room, the smallest closet, and you can kneel down there and you can access God there. God is accessible to us anytime, anywhere. I love reading the Psalms because the psalmists, whether it was David or one of the other leaders of that time, the psalmists again and again and again call to God, because that's what God said. Call on me and I'll be there for you. What an epiphany. What an amazing manifestation of God that we can call on Him at any time, any place. I was reading shortly, not too long ago, about the philosopher Jean-Paul Sartre. He was an atheist. And when he explained why he became an atheist, he hearkened back to a time when he was a boy. When he was a young boy, he was playing with fire, and he lit a small rug in his house on fire. And at that time, to quote Sartre, he says, I felt God's gaze in my head, and I felt guilty. Sartre, rather than seeing that as a warning or God trying to get through to him, he saw that as an invasion. How dare God invade the mind of a child and make him feel bad about something that he's doing? Now see, that's backwards to me. See, I spent many, many years an atheist myself. But I wanted to know God was there. I was hoping God would make some kind of manifestation in my life so that I would know He was there. Not realizing God was all around me at that time, but I wanted proof. And like Sartre, I think I realized what the problem was, is that I was calling on God, but I was calling on God in my terms. I wanted God to show Himself to me first, and then maybe I'd believe in Him. I wanted God to do something in my life, and then maybe I'd change. Sartre actually turned against God, despite believing that God was actually there in his head. Me, I didn't know God, but I was hoping for something like that. Now, being a parent, I've learned over time that unconditional love does not go away just because you lay down some rules. If a child is misbehaving, a child, even an adult child, is not living their life right, they can't just come to you and say, give me whatever I want, and maybe I'll change. A good parent says, let's slow down a little bit. If you want to turn your life around, if you want to do things right, I've got some rules, and then I'll be glad to be there for you. But I'm not just going to give you everything you want while you're living your life this way. And in those terms, that's kind of how God comes to us. Now, God, through Christ, is saying, I'm here for you. My love is unconditional, and I have all the wealth and all the riches in the world for you if you want it. But I do have some rules. God does have some rules, basic. We've talked about it before with John the Baptist coming and saying, repent and turn to God. God does want us to realize, as we said in our prayer earlier, that we are imperfect, that we need help, that we can't do it all on our own, and that we've made a lot of mistakes. God needs us to acknowledge that. God wants us to come to Him and say, you are God, I'm a simple human, and I need your help. God also wants us to believe. God wants us to believe that when He lays down rules, or when He does certain things in our lives, that He has better reasons than we do for it. That God knows what He's doing, and that it's up to us to believe that He is in control, and that He is going to follow through on His promises for us. The other thing that God wants us to do, more than anything, is to trust. To trust that even though things aren't going the way we might see them, and we might want them, that His plan is bigger than anything we can come up with. Through Christ, through the manifestation of God on this earth, we are given these basic things. Repent, believe, trust, and come to God. This, to me, is the most amazing part of this whole mystery. That God, the Almighty, all-powerful, creator and ruler of the universe, loves us. Loves us like a child, and wants us to come to Him. That's an epiphany. Amen.